countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
Now, my next guest was recently appointed as the new Dean of Agriculture at the UCD School of Agriculture and Food Science. It's an alma mater of so many captains of industry in the area of Irish agri-food and agribusiness here and across the world, and where many of the young farmers, food producers, researchers and scientists of the future study. Frank Monaghan comes from a farming background himself in Ballinabrachy in County Meath, and it's great to have him here in studio. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Damien.
And
nice
best
to be
of luck in your new job as the boss of the ag faculty in UCD. Can you give us a picture, I suppose, of just how big it is and how many people study ag science?
Yeah, so it is a big operation, Damien. We've over 2,000 students, undergrads and postgrads, across all our programmes, 70 academic staff, and then about 40 support staff and another 50 research staff. So it's a big group.
And it's been going for many years. Like, as I said, Commissioner Murray McGuinness did ag science in UCD and many more people like her. And speaking of Murray, you know, you're the former Dean of Equality, Diversity and Inclusion in the university, in that faculty. Is the Irish farming and food sector, is it still very male-dominated? Or are you seeing a change? Is there more of a gender balance emerging?
It's certainly changing. From the time when I came to UCD, initially there was one woman on the faculty. Now we've 50% of our faculty are women, and so that's a big change. Mm. What has to change is in terms of seniority. More of the men are at senior levels at the moment, but that is changing gradually. We can see that, and we've a gender equality action plan that's in place to make sure that happens.
And among students?
And among students, it's again 50-50 male-female, which is really nice to see, you know, across the whole school. So there is that whole energy, and we know that, you know, people work better when you have men and women involved, so it is great to see that.
I'm not too sure how many of the students are listening to us this morning, because it was Ag Week, so I think there was a bit of celebrating going on this week and celebration of agriculture in many ways.
Yep.
Are we entering for these undergrads now in UCD? Are we entering possibly, arguably, the most challenging but exciting time in the whole agri-food, agri-business environment and farming areas possibly ever?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, it's a question that came up at one of the Ag Week debates during the week. You know, we often hear about the negative aspects of agriculture, but it also is providing huge opportunities, and there's a lot of positivity there in terms of, you know, innovation and being able to meet the challenges that are ahead for food and animal production. So it is a really exciting place to be, and the opportunities, I think, will only grow.
Yeah, and is the whole area of climate and the challenges in that area, is that very much part of the curriculum now, part of the lecturing that's going on the various courses?
Yeah, I mean, you see, and we all hear, of course, the word sustainability is embedded across everything, and that's one of the things that we're very conscious of in our degree programmes, whether they be in food science or in environmental science or animal and crop, that whole area of being able to produce food well and sustainably and in harmony with the environment and nature.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose the focus is changing in that regard from, we'll say, your time.
It is. And I think the other big difference is that, you know, I suppose when I graduated or you went out with all this knowledge, now you get, you know, knowledge, but you also have to be a lifelong learner, so that it's changing. When you leave, you have to be willing to adapt and know where to find the information. That's probably more important. There's so much of it, knowing where to find it and what's reliable, what you can stand over, what's peer-reviewed.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you said, at any one time, there's a couple of thousand of undergrads and postgrads, 70 professors and lecturers in UCD preparing all these people for the future. So that's one side of what you do. The other side is, of course, research. And you have access, or you own that big farm out near Sagart called the Lions Farm, beautiful sprawling farm in West County Dublin. It acts as a research facility. It's a working farm. I know that because I was there recently. Yeah. And I was fascinated to see the amount of research that is going on into, for example, how dairying can become kinder to the environment, and you're doing all sorts of research. And I'm kind of saying to myself, how come we never hear about this? Is the whole agri-business and agri-food and the industry in general really bad at communicating that sort of work that's going on? Because we want to know, you know, what is going on. Is dairying methane reduction really a possibility into the future.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have Lions associated with the school, and you're absolutely right, and we're very conscious of that we need to get the positive messages out about what's going on. I mean, we don't have all the answers, but there's a lot of research going on to address these really important issues. And and it goes right through from the soil, the animals, right through to the food that we consume and human nutrition and health. And we're following that along the whole spectrum, if you like.
So and are there breakthroughs on the horizon? You know, maybe this is something we should have been doing 10 years ago, who knows? But
yeah.
I'm wondering, are there chinks of optimism there that we can continue, maybe, you know, dairy farmers can be confident that into the future they can continue to produce milk, but have a much lighter carbon footprint?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's been, we've all been quite focused on all the, you know, climate change, greenhouse gases and so on. And now I think we are moving to the solutions and trying to find those. There's a lot needs to be done in a very short space of time. I suppose it's a bit like, as many people have said about the COVID pandemic, when we put our minds to it, we can really do a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, so all these, you know, multi-species swards, nitrogen utilization, all of these areas are being looked at, ways of reducing methane emissions through the diet. So there's a lot happening. Nobody's got the magic bullet at the moment, but hopefully with all of these different approaches, we'll get to a solution that will enable, you know, Irish agriculture to continue as, you know, in a very efficient and sustainable way.
Yeah, because I wonder, there is this argument about, you know, beef production and dairy production, and, you know, if we reduce output here, the slack will be picked up elsewhere. It's a very divisive discussion, that whole area of carbon leakage. But I just wonder, is Ireland, due to its climate and location, the best place on the planet to produce beef and dairy? Is that just a political statement, or is it a statement of fact?
Well, I mean, if you travel around the world, you know, you see, you know, different environments, and you'll see very clearly that grass grows very well in Ireland. That's what we do very well. So it's, you know, obvious that we would, I think, you know, convert that grass into milk and meat in the first instance. It doesn't mean that we can't do other things, and we grow crops and very well also.
Yeah.
But it is a very good place to do it. And I think the great thing is now that, you know, environment and agriculture are, you know, much more entwined, and I think, you know, farmers and are guardians of the environment, they realise that they have to do this in a way that's, you know, sympathetic to nature.
Yeah.
So we will produce it very well, I think very high quality food, and, you know, there will be a market certainly across Europe and hopefully beyond for this very
quality. It's a priority. And in middle classes, you know, our diets are changing. We're reducing our meat intake. Mm-hmm. We're going more for plant-based and free from. And indeed, you know, we're hearing about lab meat. Whether that'll catch on in big terms or not, we don't know. What, you're a food scientist. Where are we going in that area?
So, you know, I always say, when you look at the food pyramid, which is our dietary guidelines, meat is still there. It's on the second shelf. It's you know, poultry and fish and beans and nuts. So it's the protein shelf of the food pyramid. So we'll always consume meat. We may consume a little less of it, and we're advised to consume more fruits and vegetables, a lot more of them. That was interesting listening to your last piece, because that is where we do need to have more fresh fruits and vegetables, you know. So there will always be a need for meat, for high quality meat and milk. Lab-based, it's very much in development. I mean, the first paper I read was in 2008 about it. It's still not on the... Right. On the shelf, and there's a lot of debate about, you know, whether people will actually buy it.
So we're still in the early stages of all.
Still very much in the early stages.
It's a case of watch this space. Frank, look, it's good to have a chat, albeit brief, with you this morning, but just to kind of nod our head at what you're doing and wish you all the very best in your role, and keep in touch with us on, I suppose, developments. And you mentioned the word there earlier on when it comes to the future of farming and how a lot of food producers will survive in this country into the future. I think a lot of it will be about innovation and thinking outside the box.